We're in a historical section of the book of Acts. Overall, the book of Acts is a history book covering the spread of the gospel from the city of Jerusalem all the way to the city of Rome, from the center of the Jewish faith to the center of the world in their day. That seems to be the theme that Luke, the author, is following as he writes it. And we don't always know why he chooses to talk about some things and not about others. He's not present with us so we can interview him and find out what he had in mind. And that's the case with the section we're in today. In Acts chapter 21 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul has reached the city of Jerusalem. We talked last week how that as he's been making his way at the end of his third missionary journey from Ephesus and Greece back down to Jerusalem, it seems like everywhere he stopped along the way where there were believers, the Holy Spirit was prompting those with spiritual gifts to warn him that suffering and prison awaited him if he goes to Jerusalem. And then, acting strictly out of their own feelings about this matter, they would beseech him or beg him not to go. And yet Paul said that he's willing not only to go and suffer, but to die for the cause of Christ. Now, the city of Jerusalem was a place that held rather unusual memories for the Apostle Paul. He wasn't born there. He didn't grow up there. He grew up in the city of Tarsus, which was hundreds and hundreds of miles away, and was a city that was not mostly Jewish, but instead was mostly Gentile, and yet had a very strong, conservative Jewish community within it. And that's the community in which Paul had grown up, and when he reached a certain age, his parents had actually sent him to Jerusalem to be educated in the Jewish law, in the law of Moses, in what we would say the Old Testament. And he had one of the most prestigious teachers that one could have in that day and time, a man by the name of Gamaliel. This probably indicated that his parents were well-to-do, Paul's parents that is, that they could afford such an education. It probably also indicates that even though they were not residents of Jerusalem, that his father and their family must have been very influential, because almost surely the number of people who applied to the school of Gamaliel far exceeded the number who were ever accepted. So you had to have some advantage in order to get in. And Paul was instructed for several years, no doubt, by Gamaliel. Later we find him as a young man in Jerusalem, very serious about the Jewish law and very zealous to uphold everything concerning that law. In Acts chapter 6, Luke tells us that once the gospel has begun to be preached in the city of Jerusalem, first on the day of Pentecost by the apostles, and then after that by others who were disciples of Jesus or who were converted by the apostles. When we get to Acts chapter 6, a young man by the name of Stephen is preaching the gospel, and he's not just preaching it in the traditional places in Jerusalem. He is actually visiting the synagogues of Grecian Jews. That is, Jews who were from other parts of the Roman Empire, but had moved back to Jerusalem either temporarily or long term and had established their own synagogues. They would have done that mostly because their first language would have been Greek, not Aramaic or Hebrew. And so they would have been more comfortable in a synagogue service that was conducted in the language they knew best. Interestingly enough, many of the Grecian Jews, that is those who spoke Greek for their language, were more conservative in their religion than the native Jews were. Paul later encounters that on his missionary journeys, doesn't he? When he goes to some of these cities, it's the Jews in the synagogues there who give him the most grief, who are the most zealous for their religion. Paul is such a Jew himself. Having grown up in Tarsus, probably Greek was the first language spoke in their whole community, and though they might have spoken Aramaic at home, all the language of every day when he left that home would have been in Greek. And so he probably was a part of one of those Grecian synagogues in Jerusalem. And Stephen eventually is brought up on charges before the Jewish Sanhedrin for teaching against the law and the temple, and for teaching that the gospel was for all people, that the Messiah was for all people, not just for the Jews. Those were the charges brought against Stephen. From the point where we are right now in the life of the Apostle Paul, that's some 25 years ago. Stephen eventually is executed, killed, by what amounts to a vigilante action. The people are so upset with him that though they try to have some kind of trial before the Sanhedrin, eventually even the men of the Sanhedrin abandon justice and carry out their hatred instead against him. And he is killed. And one of those who helped implement that was a young man by the name of Saul from Tarsus. And then he became the leader under the guidance of the Sanhedrin in hunting down Christians throughout the city of Jerusalem and eventually all of Judea and trying to force them to leave their new faith or else face punishment, imprisonment, and even death. That's Paul's initial involvement with the city of Jerusalem. Eventually, he's sent by the leaders all the way up to another city by the name of Damascus to hunt down Christians there. Damascus was a city with a large Jewish population, about maybe 100 miles from Jerusalem to the north. It's while he's on the way there, just shortly before he arrives in the city, that he suddenly has a vision. He falls from his horse, he's blinded by the light, and yet he sees someone and he hears someone talking out of that bright light that turns out to be Jesus. The whole premise that the Christians had stood on as Paul persecuted them as an unbeliever was that Jesus was the Messiah because he was risen from the dead. And if he was risen from the dead, he's the Messiah. And if he's the Messiah, then what he taught must be believed. And what he taught was that the gospel was for the whole world, not just for the Jews. And that God was changing everything. When Paul sees Jesus in that vision, it changes everything for him. He becomes a believer. He's baptized in Damascus by a man by the name of Ananias. After 3 years, it's almost 3 years at least, before he ever returns to Jerusalem again. He left Jerusalem as a persecutor. When he returns, he's among the persecuted. And shortly after he arrives back in Jerusalem, according to the record that we have in Acts chapter 9, the same Grecian Jews that he was once numbered with try to kill him. He leaves, goes back to Tarsus, his hometown. A few years later, a man by the name of Barnabas, a member of the church in Jerusalem, has gone up to Antioch, hundreds of miles away, where the gospel was preached there not just to Jews but to Gentiles. And a large, growing church has arisen in Antioch. It's the very first place where believers in Jesus are called Christians. And Barnabas, after he goes there and sees the work and the needs that exist there, goes on up to Tarsus and finds Paul and brings him back. And they spend a considerable length of time there in Antioch, teaching both the citizens of Antioch the gospel and strengthening the Christians. While there, Paul and Barnabas go back down to Jerusalem. This is probably some 6 or 7 years after the last time Paul had been there. But they go somewhat quietly because they're taking with them a financial gift from the church in Antioch to help the poor Christians down in Jerusalem during a time of famine. After they return to Antioch, Paul and Barnabas go out on the first missionary journey, as we call it in the Scriptures. On their return from the first missionary journey, a meeting is called in Jerusalem of the elders of the church there, the apostles, and Barnabas and Paul, and we're not sure who all else, to talk about what the Gentile Christians need to do as far as the law of Moses was concerned. That's recorded in Acts 15. So Paul returns to Jerusalem again. But again, it's sort of, shall we say, under the radar as far as what the Jews in Jerusalem are thinking. He's not there to preach the gospel at that time or to cause any kind of an uproar. He's there simply on church business.